Hey, welcome to Kids Camp Plus, I guess is what we're going to call this thing. My name is Craig King. I'm your host for these three podcasts. And so I'm going to set us up today and just talk about, one, why these podcasts, and then I'm going to introduce some folks to you around the table that'll be a part of these conversations. And so let me just start with the why of this podcast. So 30-plus years around this table, there's probably a lot more than that, but 30-plus years of camp experience. I continue to see this roller coaster of our kids being exposed to the Bible in such a way that they've never experienced before in their life. And they come back home, right, to parents, great parents, but parents that don't know all the intricacies of what happened at camp and then how to unpack that and lead their children. And so what we wanted to do is we wanted to create this podcast that parallels with what the kids are hearing. And then just maybe parents would glean some things that we talk about and actually find some tools for their toolbox. You know, it was a few weeks ago, I was sitting down with my father-in-law and we were watching just the news. And so this lady comes on and she talks about parenting, and it comes up under her name, Parenting Expert. Well, as she talked, we soon found out that she was a mother of one four-year-old child. And so I looked at my father-in-law, and who has raised three grown children. I have four of my own, and I immediately said, "Parenting expert, huh?" And we got a big laugh at that. And so I think I use that illustration because I want you as a listener to know that no one around this table is the expert. We are flawed people that are, I would say, experimenting. Every day is an experimentation. Yeah. With raising our children. But let me make a few introductions real quick to folks that you need to know. I'm going to start with Dr. Kathy Cook. Dr. Kathy Cook has been a part of, man, our family for, gosh, 8-9 years now. And I could go into a lot about how Dr. Kathy Cook's teaching has influenced my life and my life as a parent, but more importantly, my life as a Christ follower, and how God has wired me and given me great confidence in walking out. And so Dr. Kathy Cook is the founder and president of Celebrate Kids. It's based in Fort Worth. It's influenced thousands of parents, teachers, and children in 30 countries. She speaks and she writes. And so she has, let me see here, how many books, Kathy, do you have? It says here, she has 6 books. She is published by Moody Publishers. And so just an incredible, wealth of knowledge. If there is an expert around this table, it will be Dr. Kathy Cook. So, Dr. Kathy Cook, welcome.
Thank you so much. Even though I don't have any children, I mean, that's so hysterical, right? But, years of experience talking with kids, observing kids, talking with parents, doing what I do, and hopefully my objectivity comes in handy. I'm not going to tell you how to do it with your 10-year-old because I don't have a 10-year-old. So right. I give you permission to believe me or not.
Gotcha.
Glad to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Yes, you bet. Sitting in with us today, too, some parents are Luke and Kylie McNeely. Luke is the campus pastor in our Odessa campus, a dear friend of mine. We have kindred spirits when it comes to doing ministry. I would say Luke is very level-headed. He is sober-minded and does such a great job in leading that campus. And he and his wife, Kylie, are with us today.
Yeah, and I think we would agree that we're definitely not experts, and we are experimenting. And Kylie, would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we're just figuring this out. And that's the beauty of this type of media and even in 2019, we can figure it out together and record it as a podcast and hopefully learn from each other. And hopefully there'll be something worth value as we go through it.
Awesome. Awesome. Also joining us today, the curse of being the spouse of the host, my wife, Addie. So Addie, we've been married 19 years, which has resulted in 4 children. We have a 15-year-old. Almost 16, We have a 13-year-old and we have twin 11-year-olds. And so, Addie, welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, yeah. So Luke and Kylie, kids?
Yeah, so we've got two kids, 10 and 12. So we're right in the middle of this age as far as the age group that we're going to be talking about today, and kids that are kind of getting their feet wet with technology and us trying to figure out how to, you know, how to protect their hearts in this information age.
Right. So what's going to happen? Luke, I'm going to turn it over to you just for a minute. We're going to set up kind of one, the theme of kids camp. So their kids have gone to kids camp. They've sat through meetings and probably have asked themselves like, YouTube, like I don't allow my kid to watch YouTube. Why in the world would a church choose that as their theme of camp?
Yeah.
When I'm trying to draw some boundaries and you guys just charge right over that. So why don't you walk us through kind of that theme and maybe some teaching points of the three nights that they'll be at camp. And then we're going to then kind of get practical about maybe how that fleshes out in our homes.
Yeah, yeah. Funny enough, whenever we came up with this idea of YouTube, based on YouTube, we immediately thought, you know, this is kind of risky because a lot of our parents don't allow their kids to watch YouTube, or they have a lot of boundaries as far as how they allow their kids to watch it. And same with social media and just the internet in general. So we kind of felt like we were, you know, maybe treading down a lane that could be a little bit risky for a church, but we decided after interviewing students and talking to students and talking to parents, based on just the generation and the culture that this generation is being raised in, as a church, we have to address it. We have to talk about this thing called YouTube and social media, because it is probably the number one influencer of kids our age, at least sitting around this table, and kids older than our kids that'll be at kids camp, and even the next generation that's younger than them. Even if they're not allowed to watch YouTube or YouTube and allowed to be on social media, which is a good thing. But even if these students and your students, if you're listening to this podcast, aren't allowed, their friends at school are, and their friends at school are talking about videos that they've seen and things that they've been exposed to. So it's so prevalent in this generation that we feel like we've got to talk about it. We've got to discuss it. Another thing that we thought is really interesting is we have talked to students is, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a professional athlete. You know, that's what I wanted to be, and that's what all my friends wanted to be. But you ask kids nowadays what they want to be when they grow up, and there's this whole new career called a YouTuber, which is, I don't know when that started, but students, they just, there's this desire to be known and to be known through media like YouTube, you know. So there's this desire for them to not only be seen and known through YouTube, but they're wanting to watch it, and they're even spending more time watching it than they are television for a lot of families and a lot of kids. And another thing we notice is a lot of our students, they're, instead of going out and playing or even just spending time playing their video games, they're sitting in front of their TV and they're watching other kids play video games, or they're watching other families go on vacation, or watching other families interact with one another, with their friends. And as we sat in a room and started dreaming about camp, we had this idea of, no, you too are a child of God. And that's what we're going to tell your students this week, is you too are known by God. You're fully known. The good and the bad, everything about you, you are fully known by God. And not only are you fully known, you are fully and completely loved by Him. So we want them to know that you too are fully loved. So we're kind of playing on words with YouTube to you two, this idea of them as well. And then also, not only are you two loved by God, that's what we'll talk about on the first night. But the second night, we'll get into this idea that you two have a story, and you two have been created perfectly by God, that God has designed you exactly how He wants you. So there's this danger of comparison to see other kids and other families online and wish that you had what they had, or wish that you were gifted like they're gifted. But no, but you too are gifted exactly how God wants you. So we're going to teach your students that, and we're going to encourage them along those lines and tell them that, no, you're watching them live out their story, but you too have a story. So live it out. God has designed you perfectly for a purpose. So we're going to call and encourage our students to just to live it out. And then that's the last night of our teaching. The title of the teaching is You Too Have Subscribers. And it's just this idea that not only do you have a story, but as you live that story out, your life has purpose. So God has designed you for a reason and for a purpose. And people are watching, whether it's siblings, whether it's classmates, whether it's cousins, whether it's even parents and other adults. People are watching, and not to put pressure on you, but to know that your life does matter. And you can sit and watch other people on your computer, or you can go out and you can live the life that God's called you to live.
That's awesome. Well, I want to take a turn as we get started. I want to throw it to Kathy, and she has done some extensive study and has written a book about technology and kids and what that's doing to the brain. And so we're gonna turn the corner in a little bit, but I want her to set some things up for us when it comes to technology and our children, because again, this is. We've set this up to wade into this conversation. And so I think, Kathy, I think those listening need to know the weight of that this is not just something fun or it's a babysitter, but it is something that it has a direct effect on our children. So I want you to kind of explore those waters for a little bit.
I'm honored to do so. Let me be the heavy. So first of all, let me respond to some things that Luke was sharing. I'm proud of you guys for, you know the children so well, you know the culture so well there at Stonegate, and that you would do a camp. As long as I've been involved with your church, all of your camps have had meaning, and that's so wise. And I'm proud of every parent listening and every grandparent listening, because we can't expect 3 days of camp to last for 362 additional days until next year's camp. Kids need moms and dads and mentors and grandparents and educators and pastors and the Sunday school teachers to walk with them and to stand guard with them. So as you listen, you know, to all three of these, you're going to be able to watch your kids and say, hey, wait a minute, didn't you learn at camp that's not appropriate? And I'm proud of you for changing around. What I think you just heard at camp is showing up today. I'm proud of you. So really delighted to be here. I think it's a great opportunity for us to be influential. And the other thing that struck me as you guys were introducing this is that there's not a parent listening who hasn't been changed by technology. You know, our brains, maybe we're finished. Now, the personal computer was invented 38 years ago. So if you're 38 or under, your brain has been affected by the quick pace, all about me, I can win every game I play, everything has to be fun mentality of technology. So if you're parenting, and maybe you just had this aha and you want to turn this off, don't turn this off. We've got solutions for you. But it strikes me that even if your children aren't using technology, like Luke said, you're using it. And therefore, they are affected by technology, even if their friends aren't using it. So the more that we understand as the mature adults, the better the chances are that we'll put boundaries up in our own lives to protect our mind, heart, soul, and spirit so that our kids are not negatively affected by us. And there's no parent who wants that to happen. So I wanted to start there. Does that make sense, guys, from what I'm saying?
That's great input. That's a great insight.
Okay. So if you didn't think it was relevant, you know, now maybe you're going to listen with different ears, which is great. The other thing I wanted to comment on, I really respect that all four of you commented that you're experimenting. Absolutely. Your oldest is the guinea pig, will always be the guinea pig. They know that. How, have you actually told them that, you know, and maybe you apologize more to that kid, and that's mature parenting. But here's what I want parents to understand is, yes, I respect that you will experiment, but you got to land. At some point, you've got to land and you've got to stop experimenting, especially with your beliefs. So you experiment with actions, you experiment with consequences, you experiment with boundaries. You know, is 20 minutes good? Is 40 minutes good? Is only the weekend good? I mean, you experiment and you watch their reactions and their behavior and yours, and then you land. And then you don't apologize when you say my no is no. What concerns me is the parent who forever experiments and never is confident enough or bold enough or courageous enough to say enough already. So I support that. And at the same point, I want to encourage everybody who's listening to say, oh my goodness, maybe I can settle on a belief, because beliefs cause behaviors. And when I settle on my core values and my beliefs and what I want my kids to become, then I'm able to be more confident. And there's less of an experimentation, quicksand mentality where the kids are like unsettled. Luke, it looks like you have something you want to say.
No, I mean, it's so wise. And I appreciate the comment and even a little bit of a pushback, because how important is consistency in parenting, you know, with how fast the world is changing. It feels like, you know, there's this tension between, you know, dealing with this idea of experimenting and trying to keep up with just the pace of the world that we live in. But if we're not consistent as parents, then what message are we trying to get across to our kids? So it requires us to land somewhere and be consistent with any boundaries that we set.
That's right.
Yeah, cool. So Craig, I don't know if you're upset that I just let them know that we can see each other, but they can't see us. But exactly. I love that we've got the visual clues or cues here of eye contact. But you guys are good with the audio. Hopefully you're not going to miss a thing here. But let me now finally get to what Craig wants me to get to, which is the specifics of how does technology influence our kids, and why would we bring this up at camp, and why would we be here on the podcast? There's five beliefs. When I wrote my book and did a lot of research and interviewing and all of that, God just revealed the five huge beliefs that technology allows us to believe. These are lies. I think the devil is in this. And they're in a particular order that I think it'll unpack for you. For example, here's lie number one. I am the center of my own universe. You know, hello, YouTube. Yep. You know, when you allow your kids on all kinds of tech, whether that be gaming or social media or even website research, you know, there's better tech and worse tech. But we can believe we're the center of our own universe. And they glean this from watching moms, quite frankly. A lot of kids have said, I wish my mom would put her phone away. And again, I don't want anybody to be, you know, offended here, and don't take this personally. Some of you have heard me speak live. I don't compromise truth so that somebody will be comfortable. Here's the thing. Your kids are not performing for you. Children have said to me over and over again, Dr. Kathy, I wish my mom and dad would play with me and not take pictures of me playing.
Ouch. Ouch.
Oh yeah. And I'm not saying go out on the baseball player field. No, let your kid play volleyball without you on the court.
Addy.
Right. I mean, I know you guys have a volleyball player, but you know, do we do things that make them feel like they're performing monkeys and their job is to make us look good? There was a kid who was on the playground who did something really adorable and said, I would have said as a kid, hey mommy, did you like that? Or I might have said, wasn't that cool? This little five-year-old said, mommy, was that good enough for Facebook or should I do it again? Mm. Five-year-old already interpreting that it's my role, you know, to perform and make my mom look good. So I'm the center of my own universe. Notice me. It builds pride and loneliness, actually. I think one of the best reasons to send your kids to camp is to solidify some relationships that maybe have been superficial in the hallways at church, school, or in the neighborhood. You're going to have kids who really get deep down and dirty with each other and get to know each other in the mud pit and then the swimming pool and whatever. And that's great. But you know what? If they come home and you allow them back onto their devices and they're trying to be the center of the universe, you actually are very lonely, because the only reason I would talk to you is if you would affirm I'm the center. Mm. Right? But you can't affirm that I'm the center. Why not? Because you think you're the center. And how many of us have seen that just wandering, you know, kind of circling the moon, if you will, waiting to land? So a reason that I'm passionate, maybe you can hear my voice, for boundaries and, you know, technology-free zones and spaces and places where we're reading old-fashioned books and playing checkers with a live person, I'm passionate about that partly because we connect one with another. and we discover again the worth of real relationships, and we develop something that takes care of that loneliness, because we discover we might lose and we're not the center of the universe. Amen?
Yes, good. Yeah. That's really good. Really
all right. Good. And again, God is the center, obviously. You know, the danger here, it's dangerous to a secular person to think they're the center. But come on, it's sinful. Let's just go. Let's call sin sin. You know, it's not appropriate for any one of us to think that we're the center. Well, quickly, let me go to lie number two, or maybe it's not quickly, but lie number two is that I deserve to be happy all the time. And so when we allow our kids to look over our shoulder on social media or to be on the YouTube channel, and even the kids' channel, it's got some horrible stuff on it, but I deserve to be happy all the time. It is the root of anger. You guys concerned about anger in the culture and in your home? How many of you have kids who get angry quickly?
Yeah.
Yes. Quick anger. How many of you have kids who argue and complain? Well, they argue and they're angry and they complain because they deserve to be happy all the time. Now, they might not know that. Don't have your kids come home from camp and interview them. Do you want to be happy all the time? They don't. Intuitively, you know, they don't recognize that necessarily. However, as soon as I say it, to even a group of fourth and fifth graders, they look at me and go, oh, shoot, she's right. Because I can win any game I play. Technology is, it's new, it's now, it's got my name all over it. You know, when I was a kid, I had to watch the TV shows my dad wanted to watch. Which is why when I miss my dad, I watch Gunsmoke and Bonanza.
Yes.
I admit it. Which is why you should be really careful what you watch in front of your children, because you're going to watch that when you're dead.
That's right.
It probably won't be available. But, you know, does that make sense to you? Now kids can watch what they want on their device in their room without you even knowing they're watching it. I had to buy a whole album for the one song. Now you can listen to a song, buy it in a minute, listen to it forever and ever. I had to pay for the development of a whole roll of film.
That's right.
And pay for even picture, even if they were bad.
Most of them
were. I had to pay for every picture. Now you can take a picture and you can auto-correct it and Photoshop it and post it for the world to see. The like factor, which makes us feel like we're the center. And again, if kids aren't on social media here in this age, it's illegal. I hope they're not there. 13 or older. And so you might be thinking, no, Kathy, this isn't relevant. No, it's very relevant. You know why it's relevant? Partly because we believe the lie.
That's right.
That we deserve to be happy all the time. So we don't say no, because we can't handle them being unhappy, because we don't want to have to battle hard. No, you chose to be a parent. Battle hard.
It's hard work too, isn't it, parents?
It is.
I mean, it's super hard work.
Yes.
It leads to... Addie and I talk about this all the time. It leads to tension in our homes, and we hate tension. But we have to fight through it because we know that the end is worth it. And so we fight through that, but it's awful. Like that tension that even one child can create in the home of them wanting to be happy and us just saying no, that like trust our heart for protecting you guys. And so, yeah, the great point.
I love that. Trust your heart. So here's the phrase I love to use. It's the phrase, I love you too much to allow this to continue. So I will get to the other three lies, but I really want to camp here on the first two. I deserve to be the center, or I'm the center of the universe and I deserve to be happy. Well, those are both lies. So what we need to do as moms and dads is we need to say, I love you too much to allow this to continue. When you play that game, the aggression lasts 20 minutes after you stop playing. Your gaming time is up, but I watch you. You treat your brother badly. And we've watched the pattern of your choices, and it is rooted in our choice to allow you to play that game. Now, we're not mean and you're not bad. We were experimenting, and we've decided to make some changes here. And so we have removed that game from your phone. No, yes. Because you know what, Craig, as you were just saying, we got a parent for the long term, right? We got a parent with big picture in mind.
That's right.
We're not supposed to be parenting so that they'll like us today. We parent so that they will want to be with us 20 years from now.
Yeah.
You know, ideally. So I love you so much. Let your love compel you, not your anger, not your fear, not your guilt, not your shame, but your love. You know, sweetheart, I've seen that you text so often, you're ignoring the people in the home. And the family was an ordained unit by God, and you are not even spending any quality time with your siblings anymore, and it grieves me. Because we're a unit, and you got to learn how to live community here in the living room. We're going to live in the living room. It's called the living room. Let's live there.
Yep.
Let's get out of the man cave and out of the, you know, Pinterest room and out of the bedroom, and let's live in the living room. And because you've been texting so much, and we understand you value your friends, but we've made some decisions, and we're no longer going to allow texting after 6:30 at night because that's family time. So you're not bad. We're not mean. You know what? And this is the key for parenting. It's behavior and character that ought to result in us making changes.
Right.
Right. So we've seen you behave in certain ways that do not match family values, that goes against godly principles. Therefore, our love is causing us, right? Right, right.
Right. That's right. And then I think you have to be willing to, you know, I think sometimes we use technology as a babysitter. So I'm going to have to replace that time that maybe you would have been playing and be willing to, you know, get down on the floor with you and maybe play some board games. Or, you know, if I'm going to expect the kids to be in the living room, then I need to be in the living room too. And I need to be present. And so I think that that kind of creates like some conflict because, you know, quite frankly, I think sometimes we use technology as, and I think Luke said it, as a babysitter. And you mentioned it too. I mean, these are our problems as well. And so, you know, a step would be to definitely, you know, take an inventory of how am I spending my time? And am I allowing some things that maybe I know are not ideal because I don't want to put in the time?
Yes, yes, and yes. And thanks for being vulnerable. And any parent with integrity is nodding in agreement. You can fold laundry in the living room. I mean, you know, but yeah, to play checkers, to read a book together, you know, to watch a show together if you want to and talk about, you know, the action and the attitudes of the main character, whatever. So, you know, let me quickly go to the next three. I must have choice is another lie that technology teaches us, because look at the front of your phone, not now, but, you know, later. It's all the apps. And of course, there's millions of songs and millions of shows and movies and, you know, lots and lots of products to purchase. And so our kids believe that choice is their right. So they're angry again quickly. They complain. They argue. And one of my biggest concerns, guys and gals, about the I must have choice lie is that they're never satisfied.
Yep.
And how many of us are guilty of halfway through steak wondering if we should have had prime rib? Or how many of you are halfway through a movie at a movie theater thinking, I should have gone to the other, right? Oh, it's just hard to settle and hard to land. And but yet God would call us to be content. Come on.
Right.
And so the choice, we who are older know the choice is a privilege. Younger children think choice is their right. And here's the thing. It's not their fault. We would be like them if we were their age. And that's a very important thing for you to wrestle with, which is why we have to have compassion and not anger.
That's right.
Because it really isn't anybody's fault. But I've actually had people say to me, well, I'm not going to choose Jesus because what if there's a better choice next week? So decision-making and choosing, we can teach that. Next lie, I am my own authority. And they think that they're their own authority, especially older kids, because they have Siri on their phone with them all the time and they can ask her. I had to leave my bedroom and ask my dad. Now kids think they can go to, you know, YouTube, TED Talks, they can go to google.com, they can go to Siri on the phone. You can actually ask Siri the meaning of life. She's wrong. But you can ask. And if you don't want your kids to think that they are their own authority, if you still want them to need you and to care about what you think, you have to be, as Kylie said, ever present. Because the reason that they think they're in charge is that they are alone so much, I said, into their screens with the answer right there. Right. So they're not their own authority. God is. And one of my concerns about the authority lie is how foolish some of them are. You know, how many of you even know young adults? They're in their 20s, maybe older teenagers. Your kids are going to be teenagers before you know it. And they're making foolish decisions. Why? Because they think that they're their own authority. They're not humble. They're not teachable. They're not open to other people's perspectives. And it's dangerous. And then the last one would be, and it's kind of related, but it's the idea that information's all I need, so I don't need teachers. It's very possible today for adults listening to us today to realize, oh, shoot, I think information's all I need. And you know why we believe that? Because it's everywhere. The news is a split screen with a crawl across the bottom because there's so much information. Some of your kids, depending upon the school option you've chosen, are tested, in my opinion, way too much, so that they believe that information is all that's necessary. They're not digging deep. And wisdom is the truth. Wisdom is agreeing with God, as Patrick Peyton says. Wisdom is being right and doing right for the right reason at the right time with the right motive with the right outcome. Wisdom is putting others first, et cetera, et cetera. And we want the kids that you guys love to go beyond information and choose wisdom. If they don't, again, prideful, foolishness, not digging deep. And I will say quickly, it's the a leading cause of the dropout rate from church and school. And you might be thinking, but Kathy, don't you know this is fourth and fifth graders? Are you not remembering you're talking to parents of fourth and fifth graders? No, I know who I'm talking to.
That's exactly right.
And like Craig and Luke, I'm so proud of you for wanting to capture this. You know why? Because when they're fourth and fifth graders, their belief systems are developing. And if they believe that information is all that's necessary and they're already thinking, I can get this on my own, I don't need teachers, I don't need pastors. You might be stunned to know that in our country, 600 ninth graders drop out of school every day. 600 ninth graders. Well, they didn't wake up and were a ninth grader and decide to drop out. That was planted in them for years to come. So again, praise God, you've sent your kids to church camp where they're going to go beyond information and they're going to seek wisdom. So Craig, those are the five big lies. I have some concerns about academics as well that we can talk about if we have time. But let me throw it back over to you and react or throw it back to me however you want.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the tension that we feel as parents. These five lies, we see the byproducts of these lies, right? We see the tempers, we see the self-centeredness, we see this feeling of, I think I'm going to be left out. Now we're getting with some of our older kids of that's, you know, we used to hang out at Sonic and we felt left out if we didn't go to drive to Sonic and hang out with everybody. Now it's they're left out if they're not on their phones at a certain time when everybody else is. So just some tensions that we find in the home. But what I want to do, I want to take these five lies. So now the knowledge that we have, the five lies of technology. So I'm the center of my own world. I deserve to be happy all the time. I must have choice. Netflix, right? I must have choice. I am my own authority, which is huge in our culture. I am my own authority, and information is all I need. I don't need teachers. I want to take those lies, and I want to begin to kind of shift towards this idea. Then, us as parents, this word boundaries. Then what are my boundaries? What are some ideas that maybe we can talk about to help protect our kids? And I know I wrote in the notes for us to discuss too. Boundaries can go the opposite way too when done unhealthily, right? When scripture even talks about in Ephesians 6:4 that if we come down on too hard, we exasperate them. They're just, when I can't win, I'm creating anger in them anyway. So boundaries can go awry the wrong way too if we're too harsh and it doesn't come from love. And what we know, lots of conversations, lots of tear-filled conversations. So I want to shift that a little bit, and I'm gonna come to you first, Kathy, about this idea of boundaries and why they're important. And then I'm gonna come to our mamas about what they see in their homes, good, bad, ugly, with as we experiment, as we raise unique children, as we create unique boundaries for every child. So Kathy, talk to us a little bit about why it's important for boundaries, specifically in the area of technology.
Yeah, I love this. I really appreciate this. Let me give you five thoughts. And you're right that this is really important, not specifically about technology. And this is in my book, and some of you have maybe seen, if you don't mind me mentioning, the movie I was in with Kirk Cameron.
For sure, yes.
Which Connect. It's on Netflix. So if you're a Netflix subscriber, the movie Connect by Kirk Cameron, I happen to be an expert in the movie, which is an amazing experience. And we talk about the five lies and boundaries and different things, including specific technology boundaries within that movie, which, by the way, you can watch with your preteens and teens. And I do address things, Craig, like digital free zones, like every meal, there should be no devices at all at the meal. How many of you agree that the restaurant, when you watch, you know, everybody there is on their phone, but how much harder in the home? But I mean, like, no radio, unless it's great talk radio, you know, and no TV and no movies, because when there's silence, someone will talk. And that's when you develop relationships. And that's when you get to iron sharpens iron. That doesn't happen when you're just sitting together.
Yeah, that's good.
And Craig, I believe that the car should be digital free, except for long rides. Like, if you guys are going to leave Midland and come all the way to DFW, you know, then yeah, the radio is okay. But if you're running errands with your kiddos, I want you to consider no technology in the car, no gaming, no pods in the ear, no radio on, because again, when there's silence, someone will talk. And kids tell me they love talking to you in the car. You know why, Kylie? Because they don't have to look into your eyes when they're going to say something that's hard for you to hear. You know, and they're captured, and you're captured. And so if it's hard, you can't leave, and they can't leave. That's also why they love talking in the dark at bedtime. Because they'll say to me all the time, you know, Luke, they'll say things like, I'm going to make my dad, you know, sad, or I'm going to make him mad. I don't want to see his face because I'm going to remember that look of horror or that thing he does when he's upset with me. So, you know, I do think there are boundaries we can place. I think the bedroom should be digital free for children. And there's all kinds of reasons for that. They stumble onto things they didn't mean to stumble on. And if they do it in the living room, they're much more likely to look at you right away and throw you. I've had kids throw their phone at dad. Dad, there's something on here I shouldn't have seen. Mm-hmm. And if they're in their bedroom and you're busy in your man cave, if I can kind of be stereotypical here, they're not necessarily going to reach out to you. So I do think there's spaces and boundaries that, again, maybe you gals can unpack. Let me give you some general thoughts, if I could. Boundaries are blessings. They're blessings. Biblically, they're blessings. And in the family, boundaries are blessings when chosen and enforced with love. They're not going to be blessings when they come out of anger and shame and guilt, and I'm a bad parent, therefore none of this ever again. But boundaries are blessings when they're chosen and enforced with love. And I love that you use the word individualized, because they also should be individualized within the love that you have, because your 15-year-old is not like your 11-year-old. And even your two twins, you guys, they're individuals. And you know that. I've watched you parent well. So it is appropriate. And then when kids go, well, why does she get 20 more minutes and I don't? Because we choose what we choose based on character.
That's right.
And it would be unfair to treat you the same because you're not the same.
That's right.
Now, don't call me next week and tell me that doesn't work. But, you know, the theory is, you know, if I treated you the same, that would be unfair because you're different. I treat you differently. And let me remind you that your character and your behavior and your choices drive my choices. There are consequences to your choices. And you really do control a lot of that. They need to know that. Another general point would be, I really want parents to hear me. Boundaries are not about parents being mean and kids being bad. This isn't about I'm a mean dad and you're a bad kid. This is sensibility. We were created with a need for boundaries. You know, think about the river. It has to have riverbanks. You know, one of my jokes is that Niagara Falls would be a puddle without the riverbanks.
That's right.
It'd be a really big puddle, but it'd be a puddle. You know,
yeah,
and so
I wouldn't take a picture in front of it, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? If you want, like, I love, Luke, that you're going to talk to the kids about living on purpose. If you want your kids to know who they are so that they can walk on their path, okay, now we're all on the path of righteousness, but their path, then there has to be boundaries so that they can discover who they are. Another general point, and this is an analogy kind of along those same lines. Do you want to build the fence or build the hospital? Right? Have you guys heard that analogy? Do you want to build the fence at the top of the cliff or do you want to build a hospital at the bottom?
That's right.
How many of you know people who spend money building the hospital?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. And they just let their kids go? No. You know, kids have to learn by doing sometimes, and they have to learn resiliency. So I'm not saying that you fence them in a 2x2, you know. But you guys, your parents, you gotta build the fence.
Yep.
You've got to, because they will experiment because they're children. They will explore because they're children. And you have been called by God to steward your children. And so build the fence so that you don't have to build the hospital. I also think just quickly that boundaries are about balance. So that's another B word. Boundaries are blessings. Boundaries create balance. As an example, you know, you never let your kids color 24 hours a day when they were four, even if they liked it. You know, you didn't let your kids fingerprint forever. You didn't let them dig in the dirt forever. You've always had enough of that. Let's come do something else. Even if your kids, you know, love pizza, they're not eating it 24 hours a day, 5 days in a row. There's always, right? Right. Yes. I mean, hopefully you agree with me. Yes. You know, there's always been boundaries that you've placed upon kids. Because that's how they develop balance. That's how they become eclectic, because they're exposed to more. It's just the addictive nature of technology. And as Kylie vulnerably stated, it can be a babysitter, even for us. The very thing that discourages us, we fall into when we're discouraged, rather than loving and processing and living with each other. And so the balance is harder now because addiction is real. We're addicted to the adrenaline drop, by the way, not to the tool itself. And then I'm going to say one more thing before I throw it back to you guys. Appreciate your patience. If you make a decision as you listen to these podcasts to make some changes when your children come home from camp, let them know why you're doing it.
Yeah.
Don't let them think that they've been bad kids and therefore we have all these new rules and here's the plug-in station for your devices is now on our dresser and yada, yada. No, what's the what we use at Celebrate Kids is the phrase, what's the why behind your what? What's the why behind your what? Let them know why you're doing what you're doing so that they buy into it eventually, I pray. And so that when you launch them, which isn't as far away as some of you think it is, when you launch them, they have a reasoning that they can use to set their own boundaries, which ultimately they are going to have to be able to do.
That's right.
And so that's, I think, the blessing and the love factor of boundaries. It comes when we choose to spend more time and use more words to intentionally teach, not just tell, that this is why in our family, because of our values, we make these decisions.
Yeah, I love boundaries are a blessing. That's something that's a juxtaposition, right, of two words of like, hey, those don't go together, especially as we first start them or create the courage to do that, because it takes great courage, I think, for parents to look at each other and go, no, we're actually, our goal is not to be their friend. Our goal is to parent them well. And I know we've said that before, and it's a justification for mean parents to go, I'm not going to be their friend. But that is not our goal. And we're going to talk a lot about our goal as parents in the third podcast about the greater mission of being parents and raising children. But I want, with some of those thoughts of boundaries being a blessing, boundaries create balance. I love those words together. I want to talk to Addie and hear from Kylie just about maybe some specifics, because what we've done as parents is, like, there's nothing new under the sun. I think somebody said that in scripture, right? There's nothing new under the sun. And so literally, we've heard these ideas, whether it's from Kathy or whether it's from a preacher or another parent that have gone through it. And we've heard these ideas and went, oh, maybe we could try that. And we cater it to the child because, again, two for you guys, very unique children. And we take these ideas and we fashion them and we experiment with them, but we're firm in them. And so I want to turn it over to you ladies about maybe some specific boundaries, whether it's technology or even broader than technology. Maybe give us an example of some boundaries you've set in your homes. And then I want you to maybe give the listener some idea of what you've seen in your children. Because I think when we say boundaries, right, Kathy, everybody immediately, especially our kids, go, oh, here it comes. It's bad. It's bad. I've been bad. And so they had to create boundaries. And so I want you guys to describe maybe what you've seen in your children with boundaries. Now, again, the listener knows that we are not perfect. And so, but I want you guys to talk specific boundaries and then maybe what you've seen from your children.
I think one of the things that is, boundaries are hard. I mean, because you don't have a manual that says, let them do this at this age, let them do this at this age. And it's, sometimes it's different for each child. But I will start off by saying, I think something that is super important when setting boundaries is to communicate with your kids why we're doing this. I think that that has helped us a lot with our children, explaining we are doing this because we are supposed to train you up and teach you to be the best of you that you can be. And so don't look at these as rules, because that's kind of what my kids kind of went through this phase where they were like, oh, we're setting rules. I'm like, well, call them what you want to, but we're going to call them boundaries. But letting them know we're doing this because we want to protect your heart. We want to protect you from physically in every kind of way that we can, but we also want to teach you through these boundaries. So we're very much in the technology world. We have a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old. And so my 11-year-olds don't have phones or anything like that yet. But they do, you know, watch television and Titus plays video games. And so one of our technology rules, and we kind of have different rules than some people, we find. That's another thing, is we learn, you know, your friends have friends, and sometimes their boundaries look different than your boundaries. And you have to kind of work through that as well. But our boundaries are always our boundaries. I don't care whose house you're at. I don't care where you're at. Our boundaries are still our boundaries, even though theirs might look different. So I would say cell phones are a big one for us. A couple of our boundaries would be my 15-year-old. So during school, she dances. She doesn't get home until 9 o'clock from dancing, 8:30, 9 o'clock. So she has to have her phone put up by 10 o'clock in the kitchen. We don't allow any electronics in the bedroom overnight. They don't use it as their alarm clock in the morning. Their phones have to be in our kitchen at night. Our 13-year-old, her time is 9 o'clock. Now, we'll change that during the summer hours because they're home more in the evenings and whatnot. So that's one of our big ones.
Talk about the boundary. I think this is important when friends come over.
Yes. Yeah, so we're not really the cool parents for this one, if I'm just saying it. But anyway, whenever my kids have friends over, everybody's cell phone goes in our kitchen. We don't allow cell phones in the bedrooms. They have access to it. You can come and check it a million times if you want to. Give your mom and dad my number. I always have my cell phone on, the ringer on, especially when kids are there. But they have to have their cell phones in our bedrooms. And we recently began to make our children be the ones to tell their friends that. So here's the boundary in our house, is we don't get to have cell phones in our bedroom. And so we tell them, you're responsible for letting them know that. And I actually had one of my children tell me recently, she's like, you know, my friend's parents don't like that boundary that we have. And they don't like it that they can't always get a hold of their kid. Of course, I'm not going to lie. I kind of want to be like, well, then don't come over, you know. But anyway, I didn't. But I was like, sorry. Like, it's just our boundary and it's what we do. And the reason we do that is because I want my kids to have a conversation and to engage and be intentional with the person that they are with. You don't need to be talking to your other friends on the phone. You have a friend here to visit with. And it teaches them to build relationship face to face, because I do think that's something that's forgotten a lot today, between texting and even talking on the phone or whatever, this face-to-face, you need to learn to build relationship face-to-face. And also another reason is because I don't know what that kid has access to on their phone. And I can't control what they're looking at on their phone. So just to play it safe, let's put them all in the kitchen. And that way, but like I said, you have access to it all the time.
Explain to the listener too about the social media piece that we're very aware of, and we want to protect both them and others.
Yes. So our boundary is you don't take pictures and post them on social media when all of your friends are hanging out. You know, it's very much of the thing you find with teenage girls, especially, is I feel left out. Why wasn't I invited to that party? Oh, well, they posted a picture of everybody and I wasn't there. And we have had plenty of crying nights at our house because of that. So what that leads to is, let me have your phone. You don't even need to be on social media, you know, for a while. Let's just get off of it. But I always tell my kids, and I even tell my kids' friends, you guys be very aware of what you're posting on social media. If it's not going to bring good to anything, don't post it. So I want you to think about how you would feel if somebody had four friends over and you weren't there, and you saw a selfie of all of them and you weren't in it. Well, that would make me feel sad. Yeah. So why would you want to do that to somebody else? And we've talked about, you know, it's one thing if you have one friend over and you're hanging out and those types of things, but we really try to just prevent the whole everybody feeling left out or anybody feeling left out thing as well with social media. So,
and we've actually had the same experience with boys and video games with our son recognizing, oh man, I'm talking to my friends while we're playing video games and they're all together.
Yep.
And I'm the only one who's not, you know? So whenever we have friends over, we're very careful to make sure that, hey, be careful how you talk and how you interact, because we don't want anyone to feel left out, because it hurts when you feel left out.
That's right.
Right. And then it also creates good conversation that, like, people have more than one friend, and, you know, it has actually led to some healthy conversations of, hey, think the other day, like, y'all were all together and so-and-so wasn't there. And so it's okay in life to have more than one, to have more than one friend, and to be able to enjoy friends in groups and then to enjoy them, you know, individually. But, you know, yeah, I mean, we're in a totally different spot, which I love. I love having listened to Kathy, and then I love listening to y'all, because y'all have kind of gone before us with older kids. And so some of these things, like, we haven't really even had to experience yet. But I'm like, oh, yeah, that's great. I'm going to, like, put that in my head. I need to write that down somewhere, because we would want to try, you know, we would definitely want to try that, because that sounds very wise. And so, yeah, this is great. I hope it's as encouraging to those of you that are listening as it is to me just sitting in on it, being part of it, but, you know, listening and learning too.
So, Addie and Kylie, as you know your children well, you've seen, you guys are exercising boundaries, if you will. What have you seen? Because I think the parent listening is going, I'm going to set up boundaries and they're never going to talk to me again. Like, that's going to be it. That's going to be our relationship for the rest of our lives. Tell the listener what it's been like in your home, good, bad, ugly, post setting some boundaries and walking through those.
Oh, gosh. You get started, I'm going to think.
Okay. Well, you know, we are in teenage years with girls, and so boys are very much a part of our world right now. And so we are definitely tapping into the dating world, and I'm just like, oh, Jesus, Lord, come us. Back, yeah. Please.
God's come gonna, back. Jesus, come back before then.
Yes, please. We got a month and a half before that first one starts dating. So anyway, but... So we've really had to kind of work through some different boundaries and what that looks like in junior high, what that looks like in high school, because, you know, we have explained to our children too that when we do set boundaries with you, they could change as you get older. You earn our trust. Everything you do either loses trust or earns it with us. And so the more trust you earn, the more freedom you have as you get older. And so, which was kind of funny, because my oldest, my 15-year-old went and talked to my 13-year-old the other night, and she did tell her, she was like, you know, I'm just telling you, if you'll do what mom and dad says, she said, I know it sounds crazy, and we don't really like their boundaries, but I swear they have superpowers. And I'm like, yes, we do. That's such a good thing to tell your little sister. Anyway, but all of that to say, but she did tell her, she said, I know that they have our best intentions at heart. And I actually... Both of my kiddos came to us within the past probably 3 months and told us, we're starting to understand by watching other kids whose boundaries are different than ours, we're starting to understand why you're doing what you're doing. And I just, you know, lose it, because it's like, okay, so you know that we're not just like, oh, we don't want you to have any fun or anything like that. We really do mean the very best. But anyway, we recently had to set a boundary with one of our girls, and it was a harder one to set, and she did not receive it really well. And we had lots of tears over it. And she did, and I did. And it was hard. But as that was probably 3 months ago. And she actually came to me recently and said, "I'm so glad that you set this boundary, even though I didn't understand it, because I'm starting to understand why." And you know, she's my one that tends to get upset for a while. And another thing I do is I'm like, "You got 48 hours to be mad about it. And you have you get to disagree with me. You get to be upset. You don't get to be disrespectful, but you get to be upset and you have 48 hours. But after that, you're going to have to change your tone, because when you're walking around here grumpy and everything, you're changing the tone of our home and you don't get that privilege." So anyway, but all of that to say, that was definitely a hard one to walk through. And really, I think what makes it hard sometimes is because sometimes you compare what you're doing to what other parents are doing. Yeah. And then you have this second thought of, well, maybe we are being too strict or silly in this, and maybe it's not as big of a deal. But one thing I've learned is be confident in the boundary that you set for your family, because you know the best boundary for your children for sure.
All right, Kylie, you had some time to think.
I did. So I think for us, what has seemed to work the best, which is not always the easiest as things are like developing, but it's really been nice when we set a boundary off the top and didn't have to come back and, you know, like take something that we had been allowing and, you know, change it up. So, you know, one of the things when the kids first started watching, you know, they were watching YouTube Kids, and there were some really good stuff. I feel like some of them is really educational. And so one of the boundaries that we have that just kind of plays into this story is, you know, we like to be within earshot of our kids when they're watching some, you know, I like to just kind of be close by. So if they're, you know, especially with, because there's some cute little things on YouTube. I mean, the guys who throw the basketball around our son loves to learn. And so he likes to watch some educational things. But if I'm close by, then I can pick up on things that I'm like, oh, that's not really what we would want the kids to listen to. And so, you know, we've created a boundary, if you want to call a rule, that, you know, you only can watch certain things in the living room of the house. So, and we did that, you know, pretty close to the beginning of when we were watching. And so now they just know, like, that's just something that happens. And so we hadn't had to come back per se. I mean, we did that pretty close to the top of when they were getting in the middle of, you know, tapping into a little more technology. And so it seems like, you know, if you can kind of maybe be one step ahead of them. I mean, I know that's hard because things are moving so fast, but like, I know what trips me up. Like I know what it's like to be on social media. And so maybe just trying to stay one step ahead of them in terms of like, okay, here's a danger that they might encounter, and just try to get ahead of it before you have to come back and be like, oh, and we're not going to do this and we're not going to do that. And that's okay too. I mean, yeah. I mean, I feel like we should always be adapting. And even in this conversation, like, I'm like, yeah, we got to get home. Like, we've got some work to do. We've got some things to do.
Well, but that's the tension, because I mean, there's some really good things on the internet that right. that are beneficial, mm-hmm. and can help, you know, improve our life experience. But right. you know, and it's just like balance. If even boundaries and balance, both those words, if we're not, you know, if we're not proactive and we don't take initiative, then we find ourselves in this place where now we're trying to backtrack, and it is harder to backtrack. It's easier to set boundaries, you know, right off the bat and maintain those and be consistent with them. Because it's hard to go back and for kids to understand, well, I used to get to do this, and then there's this whiplash effect. How come I can't do it anymore?
Right. Right. Yeah. So, I want to kind of wrap us up. I'm going to throw kind of to all of us just kind of some final words. But I understand, you know, I've heard it in Fox News, of course, the no spin zone. We want this to be the no guilt zone, right? Because we've been in that spot before, and we live there now. You know, we'll hear somebody talk, and we're like, we're doing terrible. We just messed them all up. You know, all four of them are. You know, they're gonna, you know, be in professional counseling the rest of their life. You know, whatever. But so I want parents to understand that this is a conversation between parents who are just trying hard, and we're reading, we're listening, we're watching other parents, and we're trying to know our individual children, because boundaries are set per, and that's what I would encourage parents. Each boundary. They're unique children. So, and that's a lot of work, right? It's just hard work. But that's what God has called us to do. So, Kathy, I want to throw to you one, you know, some last statements that we would wrap up this idea of boundaries and what you would tell parents. What is the, as they've listened and they've stuck with us for a while, what is the takeaway for them? How would you encourage them moving forward after kind of hearing us talk?
Yeah, thank you. Earlier, more than once, I said that children's behaviors influence our behavior. The consequence of their choice to behave in a certain way causes us to do what we do. And I stand by that in general. However, in the case of some of what's been discussed here, I love the idea that you set boundaries before you need them. So the advantage that we have as parents listening today of 10 and 11-year-old kids is listening to Addie and Craig and Luke and Kylie talking about what they've discovered. So what are your family values? And what is your mission as a parent? And we're going to get to that in the third episode, as Craig said, because if you know in the knowing of your knowing why you're parenting, and who you hope they will become, then you can decide to agree with Craig and Addie and say that when anybody visits in our home, even if adults come over for Sunday lunch, all phones go in the kitchen, because we're going to invest intentionally in each other and be fully present. So I really love the idea that we can set some boundaries because it's healthy, they're a blessing, and it's based on values. And then we're not going to be making a decision in the heat of the moment when our kid makes us angry and we're disgusted and then we do what happens and then we got to backtrack. The other thing I'll say, and then I'll throw it back to you, is it's never too late. So I love what you're saying. There's no guilt or shame here. Parenting is really hard. Parenting has never been easy. It's extremely complex now because the culture is chaotic and people are messy. And so there's no apology needed. Step up to the plate and do what you believe you're being convicted and compelled to do, and do that and do it well, and try again tomorrow and try again the next day, because it takes a while for a new habit to feel safe. So it's never too late. Love the opportunity to be here.
Good. That's great. Thanks, Kathy, so much. Kylie, what would you tell our listener? How would you encourage them?
Oh gosh, Craig, why don't I have to go first? I really take some time to like process.
I like the way you think. All right. Okay. So Luke, yeah, you go yeah. first. And yeah.
You know, I think going back to something that Kathy said earlier was, you know, we don't, and even back to our hope in doing this podcast is, you know, the students, they get a teaching every single night. And then they have a breakout session, and we were hoping that this would even count as like a breakout session for parents. So they send their kids off. You can live stream the teaching, and then you can get a breakout session for the purpose of creating a soft landing place for these kids. Because I've been to camp so many years growing up, and I have that camp high experience, and I'm going to come home and I have these goals set, and then I go right back to real life. And sometimes you know, I feel like, man, that was a waste of an experience because I didn't continue the things I wanted. So we just want to hopefully create a conversation that can help equip parents to create a soft landing spot for their kids. So whenever their kids get home, there's not this whiplash, but rather there's just this loving moment of, hey, things may be a little different, but it's not because you've done anything wrong. If anything, it's maybe because I haven't done enough, and I want to be the best parent I can be for you. So we're going to create these boundaries. So it's, you know, I think, and I hope as people listen to this, that this is an encouragement, and there is no guilt, there is no shame, but it does create, like I said, a soft place for our kids to land and to grow and to flourish and to grow in their relationships with Jesus.
Okay, I'm ready, I think. That just kind of, and I was kind of thinking this along the lines, but I remember when I was a young mom, I was spending a lot of time on my phone, and my mom so lovingly looked at me and she said, "Kylie, it's hard enough to be a mom. It was hard to be a mom when you were little, but it'd be especially hard to be a mom and be on your phone all the time." And I was like, yeah, and it hurt. But, you know, I think as our kids come home and that it would be really even gracious to say, "Hey, I know what you've been learning and I've been learning too. And so maybe some of these things that like we're going to implement them together as a family, because here's the deal. Maybe I haven't been as present as I need to be." And so in a way that you can kind of, I think my kids always respect, and I try to do this, and Kathy may totally, this may be a really bad parenting move, I don't know, is just to say like, "Hey, that's something that I struggle with too, and let's do it. Let's do this together. Like,
right.
You hold me accountable, and I'll hold you accountable, and we're gonna work on this together."
That's
and
good.
I think it's like Luke said, that may be a soft landing off of camp. And so, man, lots to work on.
That's great. Great wisdom.
Let me interject that that's absolutely appropriate.
Yep.
Okay, good.
When we are vulnerable and we are honest, it increases our strength and our authority. It does not weaken it.
That's right.
Especially in the area of technology, because addiction is real.
That's right.
And when we humble ourselves, they know that. They see that. They discern that. And they see your soft heart. They come toward you. You come toward them. It's a win-win. Proud of you.
It's awesome.
Oh, good.
All right, Addie. What are you going to tell our parents?
I think it's just, I would really love to just see people view boundaries kind of in a different way, I think, than a lot of people do. I think a lot of people don't realize that boundaries basically create our children. It helps them develop into who they are. It helps them develop integrity. It helps them develop self-esteem. It helps them develop self-control, learning to respect authority. And I think if we can view it that way, we realize how important boundaries are, and also encouraging parents to stick to it. Mm-hmm. And when they break a boundary, they have a consequence, and stick to your consequences and what that looks like as well. A little story about that is one of my girls, one of their friends was over, and she told me one day, she said, "You know what, Miss Addie, you know what I really like about you?" And I wasn't real for sure whether to take this as a compliment at first or not, but she said, "When you say something, you mean it. And if we don't do it, we get in trouble." Like, and this is my kid's friend. I'm like, "Oh yeah, you're not in trouble, by the way. Did you do something wrong?" But anyway, but she notices that, and which tells me that she likes that boundary and what we've created there as well. So I just encourage parents to be confident in their boundaries, and don't do the compare game. You set boundaries for your family and what that looks like. Also, let me say that one boundary I didn't talk about with our children is we have no electronics on Sundays, and it is my favorite day of the entire week. Now, we do watch television on that day, but it's usually all of us. We'll sit and rent a movie, or we'll play cards, or we'll sit out on the back porch and just have conversation. And Kennedy said not too long ago, this is what I love. I love sitting on the back porch and having conversation. But I love it because it makes them unplug from their entire world. They don't have access to anybody or anything but each other, but us. And so it is my favorite day of the week. So I encourage parents to find a day of the week where you and your children disconnect from your world.
Yeah, I'm going to wrap it up with the word courage. It takes courage to start. But one thing that Addie just brought up is that what we found with our children is that within boundaries, they come alive. Like, there is just life. And to the point where it's one of my favorite days of the week. because there's not the pressure, there's not the comparison that they get hung up with their friends. They become children. They go out and ride bikes again because electronics is not an option. It's not an option to sit on their electronics. They go ride bikes and they play out in the street and they run through water puddles, you know, mud puddles, whatever. They're kids again. And to watch them, I would just say they come to life. And so parents, have courage. Take courage. That these boundaries, what an incredible gift we've been given, not only in our children, but to partner with God in creating and helping create their character. You know, everything that Addie just listed were fruits of the Spirit, right? And gentleness and peace and self-control. And we get to come alongside of God and help shepherd these children. So parents, take courage, have courage. The work is very fruitful, even though it's really scary at the beginning. And so everyone, thanks so much. Dr. Kathy Cook, thanks for being with us today. We look forward to the conversation tomorrow. And Luke and Kylie, thank you so much for being here and the wisdom.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, the wisdom that you guys shared. And Addie, thanks for being here. I don't know that you had an option. I came in last night and told her she was going to be a part of a podcast, and she was like, excuse me? So thanks for being here and being willing to talk. Parents, we love you. We want to partner with you. And so take courage, and we will see you, or we will talk to you, I guess, tomorrow. Thanks so much.